Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. It's a blessing to serve the living God, the true God. Many people serve false gods, idols, their own will, other people's wills, deception, and all forms of unrighteousness. But we serve the living God. God has always been true to mankind. He is a blessing to us. I thank the Lord for every day that I spend with my Father. A lot of things in this life goes wrong. And if God is under attack, mankind is under attack. See, the war of sin, headed by Satan, is against the work of God. For every truth that God gives us, the enemy comes along with a lie to destroy the progress of God's people. He loves us and God cares about us. He is mightily moving by His Spirit. He does things to bless other people everywhere. And the thing about God is He loves every person, every soul as His own child, just like He loved Jesus. He loves sinners enough to leave heaven, become a man, and die for us. And I believe He died for us individually as well as collectively. He knew our names. He knew what we would be. He knew our potential. And He didn't want to leave us stranded in this miserable world of sin. Now, our earth is still beautiful, even though sin is here. Man is the governor of the earth because God gave man dominion over it. So the way that it looks is a result of what man has been doing. Now, God initially planted a garden eastward in Eden, and that garden was an example for the whole earth to follow. Adam was supposed to make the earth look like that garden, and it would have been a wonder to see. The Lord gave me a poem about it years ago called The Garden of Heaven. It's on the old website, newlivingletters.com. And that garden is a, you know, it represents what God has done. I mean, the things that God do, if we're made in God's image, we do what He does. We're designed to do whatever He does, whatever He does. Now, God makes stars and planets and people everywhere, but He leaves a pattern of good works wherever He goes. We can do the same thing if we treat people right wherever we are. If we treat people with our love, the best attitude according to God's word, that's the best we can do. And we can leave a pattern of good works. A desire to do no man wrong, to do right by people, to try to help people. And when people are having a hard time, that's when they need you the most. And with that, when they have a hard time, they're not going to always treat you right with your best interest at heart. But when people are weak and stranded and they feel isolated, that's when they need you the most. We don't have a right to do people any kind of way. And we need to take a further look at what Jesus said in the first place. Now, Jesus is the Word of God. When He became a man, He came and taught men. And, you know, when I first got saved, I said, I want to know God. It was a passion to know God. I lived 19 years without knowing Him. I didn't become a Christian until I was almost 20. The month of May, the last Friday in May is when I got saved. Right about 3 weeks before my birthday. So I was almost 20 years old when I actually got saved in 1983. Now, when I did believe on Jesus Christ, the enemy came to me and said, if you get saved, you're going to be bored. And I thought he was telling the truth. The way I thought back then, I thought that if I just get saved and go to church, I'll be bored. That's how it looked on the outside. I said, it don't matter. God, this is right. Now, when I got saved, I was willing to do everything that God required. Because I've gone to church. I went all of my life. And I've seen all kind of people. Some people really did the right thing. and they lived according to the word of God. And most people do what, kind of what they want to do. And they kind of live the way they want to live. But some people were dedicated. I said, if I'm going to do this, I want to be dedicated because I'm representing God. And if I want to do, I want to represent Him right. And I love the life of God. I wanted the life of God, but I didn't think I could do it. So that's why I didn't get saved early on. I started wanting to get saved when I was 17, but I didn't know how I'd do that. I didn't want to say I'm a Christian and do other things. Now, that's just the way I was. And I didn't know that the Lord would, you get a brand new heart and you have new desires when you believe on it. I didn't know all that, but you know, the Lord teaches us at our own pace. But once I got saved, I felt the peace of God, and I rejoiced greatly. I said, why didn't people tell? I got mad because people didn't tell me it was like that. I didn't know that you could feel God's presence. And for the first time, I felt peace, a contentment. I felt the presence of God. And I didn't want to ever live like without that presence again. And then the Lord said, the same enemy, the same devil that hindered you from getting saved, hindered them from showing you what it's like. So with that in mind, I got to say this, that there's nothing in the world, there's nothing out there in the world system that comes close to what it's like to be in right standings with God, to be a Christian that loves God and feel His presence and know His peace. Isaiah 60 said, there's no peace to the wicked. If you have wicked intentions, you don't have peace either. You can't have wickedness and peace at the same time. If you want real peace, you got to do it God's way. You got to believe Him, take Him at His word, obey His word, walk with Him, and be guided by the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, you know, when there's concerns involved, just seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all things will be added. And that's a true fact. And like I said in the last broadcast, money and prosperity, that's added to your life. But the wisdom of God is multiplied to you. And so you want the wisdom of God. It's multiplied. But the things of this life, they're added. If you'll seek first the kingdom of God. And last year I learned another fact, that when you're looking to the Lord, Jesus said, if your eye be single, your whole body or your whole being will be full of light. When you're focused on serving God, a lot of things fall in order. When things are coming to interrupt your life, you can sense it better when the Holy Spirit warns you of it, because He guides you into all truth. He doesn't let things sneak up on you. He didn't let things sneak up on me. He showed me what was coming and why and what to do. When that happens, you have to trust God. And if you trust Him, you'll do right. You'll do good. You'll do the best thing possible. Not always popular, but He'll show you the truth of things when you're looking at Him. But if you focus on the problem, then remember, when your focus changes, your destiny changes. The way you govern your life changes. Everything is altered by your focus. What are you focused on? If you're focused on your misery, you get into a form of depression. And depression is when you can't get, there's an absence of God's word in your heart, and the world is folding in on you, and you feel pressure. You feel like anybody can serve God and do well but you. You feel like you can't make it. You feel like you can't survive. That's depression. And the only way I know to kill that problem is fill your heart with God's word and do God's word. You'll be surprised how that works. Look at Him. That's where your strength comes from. All sin have this in common. It's trying to disconnect you from the strength of God. Everything that will make you mighty, your sin, any form of rebellion, your misery, your problems, they all work together with sin to divide you from the heart of God's will for you. Now, when God gives advice, he's talking to you from his heart. That's what this broadcast is about, heart to heart. God's heart to your heart, to my heart. God loves us. And when he gives you advice, it's well evaluated. Everything is thought of. Every potential is thought of. And then God tell you, he'll give you information, things you can do. Which if you do, you're following the best. When you're following God and you're doing what he put in your heart to do, or his word, you're following the best advice you can get. Now, there's nobody in the world, the smartest men out there, they can't do that. They can't show you the best possible way. They can't show you and see, the word of God comes to us in seed form. We receive his word, we act on it. And it starts working in our lives to make it better. And it starts in seed form and it ends in life. In things coming to life. It causes a lazy man to repent from his laziness. His will is involved. And then he'll become industrious. And the cure for the lustful man, if he'll love people, you can't love a person and then lust out. If you love the person like God loves you, you can kill lust. Same thing with pride. If you love God and if you love people, you can kill pride. You won't put yourself first. You won't focus on all the wonderful things about you. God made a lot of wonderful things about all of us. We can be very clever when we want to be. We can do. There's something that he gave us that we. And so it is with everybody. But love draws it out. Pride always put you first, and your focus is on you, what you believe, what you think, what you approve, and then that gets into your daily routine. It becomes your advice. You advise people to your advantage, not theirs. Everything's about you, and then you're unfulfilled, and you end up. Everybody I know, that gets in pride, they get in fear, and then they get in depression. Because they're following a dead road. They're going to a dead end. And the things of this world work so slow, you can't tell what's happening. You don't know your whole after. If you spend too long fooling around with the ways of this world, you'll wake up one day and your whole life will be tore up from the flow up. And you won't know why. You'll be clueless because departed from the word of God. But when you follow God, if you keep following him, your life will heal from glory to glory. It won't just automatically, everything will just fall in order, but the process of life, it comes to us in seed form. If you do it, you'll start growing and you'll grow out of all of your misery. You'll learn how to kill it. Now, I don't believe in playing with sin and problems. I believe in attacking my problems and destroying them. And that's the way it should be. But most people don't do this. But if more people did it, more people will follow those who do it. They'll do likewise. Out of all the preaching I've heard, I've never heard preaching like what the Lord has given me to share now. I heard a lot of good preaching. And a lot of good preaching helped me to understand these things. But not put so simply. But Jesus did it. He said, if you can trust God and what he said in the first place, you can avoid a lot of trouble. He said a great statement when he said, if your eye be single, your whole body will be full of light. If you ever wonder why angels become demons, they start focusing on something else. In the first age, the sons of God married the daughters of women. The daughters of men. Saw that they were fat. And then it said they married whoever they chose. They selected the one that they liked the most and conned them into marriage. Because they focused on the woman and not God. That wasn't God's will for them to do that. Satan was focused on destroying the seed of woman. He wanted the gene pool of man to be contaminated with angels, a hybrid, something God didn't create, and they were giants and they were very wise. They were very note that, you know, they men were outclassed because these angels are given knowledge up front. When they're created, they know what we have to go to school for years to learn. But we're made like in God's image. We have to grow from glory to glory like God did. And He's ancient of days. This happened millions and millions and billions of years ago. He started out, He had to make everything. He had to imagine everything to make everything. And then He gave knowledge to the angels. It's kind of like Solomon was given a kingdom, but David fought for the kingdom. He contended for it. So angels are, we're outclassed because God gave them more knowledge. And they can, their mind works faster. Now we're made in God's image. We have to learn everything. When you get saved, you don't get an education with salvation. And anybody that does, that's a miracle. That's a sovereign miracle of God. God can do that. I heard of one lady, he downloaded the Bible in her heart. She couldn't even read. Those are miracles. When I got saved, since the time I've been saved, 1983, I've never, ever been bored. Not once, not a moment. That was a miracle. The enemy said, if you get saved, you're going to be bored. I trusted God anyway, and my miracle was, I've never been bored since. I've forgotten what it's like. Some people, they get saved and they quit smoking. Some people get saved and they quit cursing. And I cursed till I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I said profanity for 6 months. I received the Holy Spirit 6 months later. Then I was able to stop using profanity. It was a bad habit. I picked it up among my friends and people I was around. And it's hard to kill a habit. It's not easy. But if you look into the Lord, you can do all things. You may not conquer everything in one day, but you will conquer. Now it's the Lord is about to come back. And He said that in the first of November of last year, 2017, the Lord said, "Tell my people my return is imminent, and to be ready that they be not left." And that's exactly what He told me. Imminent means any time now, any moment now, without notice. But we have to be ready. Now, there's a video out. A man died. A pastor in Africa died. And he was dead for days. And the Lord showed him heaven, and then He showed him hell. And He explained to him that when you die, I mean, if you die now, this is where you'll be, in hell. He said, "You asked me to forgive you of all your sins, but you didn't forgive your wife." Now, his wife, he got into it with his wife the day before he had the car wreck. But in the ambulance, he knew he was dying. He asked the Lord to forgive him of all the sins, like we all would do. But he didn't forgive his wife. Now, Jesus taught plain as day. If you don't forgive others, God will not forgive you. Jesus already paid for our sin. He paid our sin debt. But He requires us to forgive all. If you hold a grudge, if you don't forgive people and let it go. Now, the Lord taught me to forgive people and forget about it. And the way I survive this world, I give everybody a brand new day, just like God gave me one, a new opportunity. And I try to encourage people to do the best. But sometimes people don't get it. They're gonna take you to the limit. They're gonna try to squeeze you for all they can. And when that's happening, you know, that's dangerous because God loves everybody. We don't have a right to treat people mean. Now God gave us great grace. He forgave us of all our sins. And He works with us. He teaches us at our pace. And He helps us grow. And then we're going to turn around and judge somebody else and not forgive them for their offenses. We have to forgive people. I hate election years because people think it's all right to be in strife with people. It's not. It's dangerous. They talk about the politician they don't like as if they have no soul. I don't care what the person did and how much I don't agree with them. I don't hate anybody. And I'm not going to be in strife with them either. If the president do something I don't like, I'll forgive him. If anybody do something I don't like, I'll forgive them. And when I saw that I had to forgive, I started with the people that aggravated me the most. First, I did it like a shotgun. I said, Lord, I forgive everybody that did me wrong. But anytime people came up, old childhood enemies, people that really rubbed me the wrong way, I would forgive them. Now, I did it by faith. I didn't feel like I forgave them, but I forgave them. I said I forgave them. Then I said, I felt like I needed to do something else, so I started praying for them. Now, that take it to another level. Not only am I forgiving them, I pray for them, and I mean it. And a peace come over me every time I do that. And then I thought about, well, my family was slaves. And so I had to forgive the Hambys and the Griffiths and the Nalls and all the slave owners that held my family captive. Because I watched that movie Roots, and I saw how slaves were treated. And you know, it was a sobering movie. I got angry about it because people shouldn't treat people that way. But when I forgave them and I prayed for them and I loved them, I saw people in another way. Everybody's made in God's image, even the people that do wrong. There are terrorists that Jesus appeared to some Muslims. Even some of them were terrorists, and they get saved. And they hate the way that they were. See, when people get truly saved, then they can go forward. And some of the slave owners were Christians. But what we're dealing with was a mindset. People have to be forgiven anyway. And then you can heal. I forgave everybody I could think of that did me wrong. And it worked. It set me free. Now, most people didn't know I forgave them, but I started treating people in view of God's word. I started treating people like they were, like they mattered, like they were, like they had potential. I started loving people. So when I had a problem with people, I just prayed for them. And then I grow from glory to glory. It works. A lot of people are not going to heaven because they're in strife with people. Sometimes it's their boss, their spouse, their children, anybody. You have to forgive. It's that important. If God forgive, now He said this. Now you got. A lot of preachers like to twist the things around for the crowd because they know some things are way out there. But God is in heaven, we're on earth. We got to follow what He said, dude. If you want to go to heaven, do it God's way. You believe on Jesus, people are going to definitely do things that rub you the wrong way, and they're going to do it some more. And they're not going to stop just because you forgive them. But you'll be free, and you'll be right with God. And if you fill your heart with God's word, if you study it, every day, it'll fill the void. Pastor put it this way. He said it's like a balloon, you know, a helium balloon. The air of the earth is heavy if there's no air in that balloon. But if you pump it up, the pressure in the balloon is greater than the pressure in the world. Now, with the word of God in our hearts, we have a brand new heart if we believed on Jesus Christ. But if we don't fill our heart with the word of God, then we'll collapse under the pressure of the world. That's the way you kill. That's the only way I know to kill depression. Now, I've never been depressed. So I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, you taught me a lot of things, but teach me about depression. What can you tell me about depression? I knew what it was, but I wanted to see what the Lord would say. Because He gave me other definitions, and it's always amazing to me. He said it starts with sorrow. And when people focus on the sorrow, it grows and becomes depression, which is an absence of his word. And then when he said that, I knew what to do. See, if you change your focus back to God, you also change your destiny again. And if you fill your heart with God's word, it will take you forward in life. Now, as you do God's word, you're going to learn things you normally wouldn't learn. So you learn, you begin to learn when you read it and receive it in your heart. You finish learning when you do it. You're going to see why God said do it this way. And remember, the world runs backwards to God. If something in the world hurt you, you hurt it. But if something bothers you in the world, you solve it biblically. God will give you wisdom against what people do, and he'll show you how to help people heal. See, with God, you're the heavy. You're the bull of the woods. You don't have to fear. You don't have to operate in fear. You can operate. You operate by faith. You look into the Lord. The mission of operation is to get people saved. Keep them from going to hell. That's what we do. Our mission is not revenge. It's to get people saved. We kill people by getting them to turn against the world system. And we do it with love. See, sincerity attracts sincerity. If you treat people right, if you know, it works. I've had people that didn't like me. I love them. Even one of my bosses, he became a good friend of mine. Because I worked as under God. And I didn't backbite. I did what he asked me to do. I tried to do a good job. And he realized it. And he realized that I was a friend to him. And he started trusting God. And so do others. And that's how it works. But you have to be Christ-like. If you desire to be that way, study 1 Peter. The whole book. The whole book runs together. It's one chapter. But men divide it into five chapters. But the first chapter is the pattern, and the rest of it follows that pattern. But you'll have to study it. And then 2 Peter shows you how to stand. And it gives you wisdom against the world. When the Lord gives you wisdom, you have to follow it. And if you follow that wisdom, you'll be immune to the problems of this world. Now with that, I'm out of time, so I have to close. So remember, God loves you. And I love you. And he'll continue to teach you as long as you will listen to him. Until next time, remember, I love you, God loves you, and Jesus truly is our Lord.